Greetings again, pilgrims on your New Year launching pad journey. I guess it's about time to move past our New Year launching pad and get launched, isn't it? So maybe today will be that day. I know by Ash Wednesday, we'll be in a new series for Lent. But as for today, let's just enjoy the moment, right? That's where God is. So that's where we need to be. And that's what today's devotion is offering. Just in this moment, these words, this poem, this chant, this candle, and this tea. Rooibos and chamomile again. Great. But really what's it about is your heart and where your heart is right now. And if you're able to still that heart, quiet your soul, and take these words in as if they're delivered straight from God to you on a silver platter. God is giving you an opportunity to grow right now, to seek deeper meanings of God and wonder in your life. And we're using Michael Casey's devotions from Balaam's Donkey to do that. And today, we've got a neat little devotion called Correspondence, as if the Gospels we read are a correspondence to us about how God presents Himself. And, of course, the Gospels are the stories of the disciples and their life with Jesus and as many things as they saw. Why did it still take so long for their own personal philosophy, as it were, for their own personal philosophy to be built on what Jesus did and what He taught? You know, that took a while, even though they were with Him every day and saw these miracles and wonders, and still the breakthrough didn't happen till after resurrection. But as for us, we know the resurrection story. We can't use that as our excuse because we believe it. We believe in it. And that in itself is a miracle. So how is all that knowledge that we have that those disciples didn't, how is that affecting our daily life? How are we making our experience with God and our following of Jesus, how are we making that part of our personal way of life, our life philosophy for our existence on this earth? Interesting questions. And as you know, the questions are more important than the answers, for they will lead you forward into deeper and deeper experience with God. So let's begin this devotion, Correspondence, and see if Michael Casey can help us dig a little deeper into the well that has the living water. Here's what he says. As we read the Gospels, we may be astonished at the number of miracles that Jesus worked. Whereas, if we were ever to witness a single miracle, probably our life would be changed. But Peter and the rest were exposed to many miracles of different kinds, and yet failed to grasp their significance, and so eventually failed the test when their moment of challenge came. The problem is, as the Gospel of Mark keeps reminding us, they failed to take to heart what they had seen with their own eyes. They failed to take to heart what they had seen with their own eyes. The miracles were ineffective in strengthening their faith because there was no correspondence between what was happening on the outside and what was happening inside. As Jesus said to the crowds that came looking for Him, He said, "You seek Me not because you have understood the signs, but because you have eaten bread and your bellies are full." Unquote. Even the most spectacular miracles do not work unless they trigger an interior response. This is why so often they were followed by misunderstandings and mass desertions. There needs to be a certain consistency between inside and outside, between what is deepest in us and the practical choices that constitute our everyday life. Between what is deepest in us and the practical choices that constitute our everyday life. We need to learn the lessons that life teaches us in order to build within ourselves a structure of belief and value that will serve to guide us in the decisions that we make later on, and thus serve as a standard against which we can measure our own conduct. We cannot allow ourselves to simply float along with the current. We need to burden ourselves with certain principles that define our identity and set our objectives. Again, we need to burden ourselves with certain principles that define our identity and set our objectives. This work of having a personal philosophy that is drawn from our past experience and feeds into our present and future living is of considerable importance in arriving at a sense of who we are and what we stand for. In the course of a lifetime, we may not witness miracles, but we do encounter a vast variety of situations from which we may draw forth wisdom and understanding. But we need to step back and reflect. As Churchill once wrote, to watch the tides and not the eddies. Jesus' contemporaries saw great signs and wonders and learned nothing from them. Our experience has perhaps been a little more ordinary, but we can still draw from it enough to nourish our inner life and to take us some distance along the road that leads to wisdom. But we need to take the time to learn life's lessons. Amen. How is your personal philosophy of life coming? What are the principles that you live by and the standards that you seek in your daily life and decision making? And I guess most importantly, do they come from God? Are they the same as you see from Jesus? For indeed, He is the way, the truth, and the life. So that's where our principles should arise from. The life of Jesus, the teachings, the things we witness. And when we put that all together into a philosophy of life, then we're on a path to holiness. Here's a great little poem by Mary Oliver. Speaks to this same issue. It's called Swan. Swan. Did you too see it drifting all night on the Black River? Did you see it in the morning, rising into the silvery air, an armful of white blossoms, a perfect commotion of silk and linen as it leaned into the bondage of its wings? A snowbank. A bank of lilies, biting the air with its black beak. Did you hear it? Fluting and whistling, a shrill, dark music, like the rain pelting the trees, like a waterfall knifing down the black ledges. And did you see it? Finally, just under the clouds, a white cross streaming across the sky, its feet like black leaves, its wings like the stretching light of the river. And did you feel it in your heart? How it pertained to everything? And have you too finally figured out what beauty is for? And have you changed your life? Let's meditate on that one more time. Sit in stillness. Become quiet. Listen to these words. Did you too see it drifting all night on the Black River? Did you see it in the morning, rising into the silvery air, an armful of white blossoms, a perfect commotion of silk and linen as it leaned into the bondage of its wings? A snowbank, a bank of lilies, biting the air with its black beak. Did you hear it? Fluting and whistling, a shrill dark music, like the rain pelting the trees, like a waterfall knifing down the black ledges. And did you see it finally, just under the clouds? A white cross streaming across the sky, its feet like black leaves, its wings like the stretching light of the river. And did you feel it in your heart, how it pertained to everything? And have you too finally figured out what beauty is for? And have you changed your life? Wonderful stuff today. The way the devotion and the poem just connected with each other. And I started this morning searching and had nothing. And I just opened myself up and God led me to first the devotion about principles of our lives and do they come from the Gospels. And then Mary Oliver connected that to the beauty of the world in each and everything, including a common swan. And did you see what beauty is for? And did you change your life because of it? Well, let us pray. Lord Jesus, Word and Wisdom of God, teach us to take seriously the events of our own life and to consider them carefully. Help us to find in our experience pointers to guide us to the more abundant life that you have promised. For you are our Lord and our King forever and ever. Amen.